Blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With for this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Another day, been there, done that, and it goes under the radar real easy. And just going through the motions, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it can condition you once it, you too have big experience. Just another day, been there, done that, and it just goes right under the radar. Whereas when you're coming from that place of gratitude, it's just thank you for this day, and everything's new and fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And kind of we had that exercise 4 weeks ago, just being from the EDL class. And that was that feeling of everything being new, like actually seeing life for the first time and actually being with it instead of trying to be in it, just be, I don't know, I can't explain it. But just that feeling that just, yeah, that feeling. And they're so far and few in between, mm-hmm. I've noticed in my life that when they're there, they're really special, but they're way not enough of that in my life.
And so, you know, recalling the experience of doing the exercise from the email class about just being and having the experience of being with life and seeing life and just everything being new and fresh.
Yeah, and as soon as I start thinking, that all goes away. Because now I'm thinking about it, and then all of a sudden I'm thinking, so the condition is coming in, and it goes back into the, yeah, like was said, the habitual patterns.
Yeah, so as soon as you start thinking about it, then conditioning comes in, and you're back to the habitual patterns.
And it's kind of like, actually I needed to hear that this morning about new. Mm-hmm. Because I was sitting here on the cushion, and it was a great day, and all of a sudden I got the cushion, and I started feeling, just, I don't know how hot it is, because, you know, it's funny, because I've been here, and I never know what the temperature is. At home, I know, okay, what's the weather going to be out today? It's going to be 85, and that's so I can kind of like know what it's like, but here, like, oh, how hot is it? Is it 90, is it 75, or what is it, you know? Am I just hot and it's only 75? What's going on here?
See, you don't have the numbers to go to your head with. You just have your experience.
Mm. Yeah.
What the temperature is.
Yeah, and I know it's been pretty warm. Mm-hmm. And then I've noticed that some people are sensitive. I noticed people sitting outside, and so some people have not been feeling well. So I'm sitting on the cushion here, and it's been hot. And all of a sudden, I start sweating. And I start feeling this, and all of a sudden it's going, oh, maybe you're getting sick too. Oh, no, I don't think so. I hope not. And then now I'm not feeling that way at all. Because I remember during the retreat, I was feeling, sometimes I got real hot and sweaty between doing the work. Mm-hmm. And then the weather, too, between all the emotions and stuff coming up, kind of gives you that sweaty, hot feeling. And then the weather also does that, so what is it? And it sort of being sick, that also does it. They all kind of have that same hot, mucky feel.
So a lot to just really pay attention to in terms of your experience too.
Right. Yeah. And listening to what I'm being told at that time.
Listening to what you're being told.
Yeah. Sometimes you can buy into you're getting sick and you're not really. Huh? Mm-hmm. And I kind of did that in the beginning of retreat when I came and I had the hernia, and then I seen it was getting worse for some reason, and immediately it said, you need to do something about it now. And it wanted me to leave here, basically, is what it wanted me to do. And, same with just now, I'm a Christian, you're getting sick. Same thing, the story, it's the same thing again in the pattern.
And it sounds like you're really tuned into it and paying attention. Paying attention and hearing what it's saying.
Occasionally I am. Yes, I am. Yeah. Once again, yeah, I'm grateful to be there. And it's a new day. Mm-hmm. We find about everything with new eyes today, rather than the same old path and the same hermitage and the same creek and the same other things. Have new eyes, so I'm really grateful for that. the start of the conversation.
We can experience the day with new eyes.
New eyes, yes.
Thank you. Jen.
So I've been looking at something, some of those last things that were said. I feel like they touch into it, both the newness and the gratitude and the... So we just finished the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. And I was looking a lot at what's required of us to not indulge self-hate. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting place that feels like gets more and more subtle with more and more practice. So there are the basic levels of just self-hate coming at us, you know, blah, blah, blah. And at least in my experience, when kind of we first see it, it's like, oh yeah, my gosh, that's crazy. That's just, wow. And there can be the ability to let sort of that gross level go. And then it feels like it gets more and more subtle. And that, I don't know if I have the words for it, but it's so interesting. It's something about identifying with wanting life to be different in any way is a form of self-hatred.
So identifying with wanting life to be different in any way is a form of self-hatred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, because what I was seeing was, if we have no agenda, you know, sometimes we'll talk about thy will, not mine, that place. When I'm in that place completely, there can be no self-hate. Because there's nowhere for self-hate to be.
So in that place of having no agenda, of thy will, not mine, there's no room for self-hate to be there.
And so by extension, what I was seeing is, and I don't, you know, this could sound like another layer of self-hate, I don't mean it in that way, but that when there's believing self-hate, there's some level of something that I want, that I'm unwilling to let go of. And on some very unconscious, of course, level, I'm willing to pay the price of self-hate. Mm-hmm.
So if there's any self-hate present, and there's an identification with wanting something, mm-hmm. and an unwillingness to let go of that wanting something, and in turn, a willingness to take on that self-hate.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, so, I can't believe I said that. You know, just whatever classic self-hate would be, right? That was so stupid, whatever. But to follow that, to drill down and follow that, so, okay, well, what's the problem? Well, they're going to think you're such and such. Okay, so what? So they think I'm such and such. Well, but then they won't like you. Okay, so they won't like me. Well, then you'll be all alone. Okay, I'll be all alone. Do you know? Like, if there's truly no agenda and no preference for how life is, there can be no self-hate.
Mm-hmm. If there's no agenda or preference for how life is, then there can be no self-hate.
I mean, maybe that wasn't... There can be a lot of self-hate, but there can be zero relationship with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there can be not believing it.
Not believing it.
Yeah, because of course, for a human to step into no preference, there's nothing that's going to bring self-hate louder and stronger running at the human than that. Just like, no! Because that's complete ultimate freedom for the human and death for the ego, for self-hate.
Mm-hmm. To step into that place of no preference, no agenda, is freedom for the human and death to ego or self-hate. And so self-hate will ramp up, but there's zero relationship to it.
Yeah. So it's just, I just find it a very exciting place to practice, to watch that. It feels subtle, but it's a gigantic difference. The movement between, I kind of do want something. Mm-hmm. I kind of do whatever. I want to be right. Mm-hmm. I want to get my way. I want to be liked. I want to whatever. Mm-hmm. Which tethers me to the danger of self-hate. Mm-hmm. So there's that place, and then there's the shift to, oh my gosh, that's actually not what I want at all. Uh-huh. And for lack of a better word, what I want is peace, mm-hmm. and to not have preferences, and just that shift to being willing to let go of what it seems like I want, mm-hmm. because that's what ego talks me into. To getting that glimpse of, wow, that's not what I want.
So that subtle place of seeing that there's a preference there of, I want things to be my way or to be right or people to like me, but seeing that in fact what it is that you really want is peace, mm-hmm. and to not have preferences. Mm-hmm. And so that shift from what ego tells you want to what in fact you do want.
And again, it's that place we look at in practice all the time where, in a sense, I'm the one making the choice, mm-hmm. which can go in two directions. It can go back into the self-hating direction, like, look at you, you're making the choice. You're choosing your preferences, and so there's the self-hate, and you deserve it. You know? Or it can be this really good news of, wow, if I'm making the choice, I can unmake the choice. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You know, if that's coming from somewhere in here, then I can just have fun exploring how that happens and undo that mechanism, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So there are two ways you could go with that. You could go with I'm making the choice, therefore I'm choosing self-hate, and that's
self-hate
just into self-hate. Or you could see that you're making the choice, therefore you can unmake the choice.
Yeah.
And you can explore how that's happening within you and undo that mechanism.
Yeah, and I don't know, I guess it was triggered because I think I project that, you know, everything is new all the time, and gratitude, those are avenues into that. Mm-hmm. Those are, again, those are places where we're just here and self-hate has no place to land. Mm-hmm. Because it's just being in life instead of trying to get what I want. Mm-hmm.
So being in that place of gratitude and in that place of everything's new, there's no place for self-hate to land. It's just being in life. Mm-hmm. Alex?
I'm sitting here watching how that's true. Like, like wanting something to be different than the way it is in this really, really subtlest form, feels like. Sometimes it just creeps in and comes up as like even a practice idea, you know, like, it reminds me, I really want to do such and such, and there's a shift in how I feel when that happens that is almost like an artificial drug of sorts, like it's trying to have me alter the experience that I'm having, which is, if I looked at it, it would be like, something's not quite right, and it's almost like the same sensations that would come along with, like, I've got a headache, I need to take a pill, you know, to make it go away. And I haven't taken the pill yet, but the thought of it is like, yes, You know, like everything has shifted already. You know, the lights are starting to come. The clouds are parting. And I've had that experience so many times at the monastery. My favorite that I always refer to is when I was supervising the garden. And it would just be completely overrun with weeds because we were just so busy. And then, well, that's the story anyway, but just like there's no time for it. And then my view of it was that it's all just falling apart and it's hopeless. And I would be in this bleak place with it. And then I would have a conversation with somebody about how we're going to do this and do that. And all of a sudden, nothing has changed about it. If I look at it, and it's like possibility. You know, it's like I feel better already. It's like it's as though it had already changed, and nothing had.
So nothing had in fact changed, but you had a conversation about we can do this, we're going to do that, and suddenly you looked at what you saw instead of seeing just weeds and it's hopeless, and what you saw was possibility.
And a lot of that has been happening, it seems like it goes on all the time, really. Like the desire to shift how these sensations are not okay, and something needs to happen in order for it to, even like the notion, like self-hate will come in with, you know, the, you need to do this in order to be useful or helpful or contribution or anything like that. And all of a sudden it'll, you know, something will drop in and it will shift that feeling of not being that. And watch how that, so it's like, it's almost like the whole thing becomes a motivated drive to do something, to be somebody. And it's really, I watch how amazing it is, because it's like it's not that we can't do those things, or that I can't, you know, look at the garden and see possibility and be enlivened by it, but it's just interesting the artificial insertion of something different that is. You know, because it's like when I heard wanting something different than the way it is, it's the wanting part that is the huge, the underlined, the highlighted, starred thing in that whole thing, because that is what is caused, that can cause the suffering. If I'm not attached to it being that way, then great, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing, and if we don't, that's great too. It's like it's not wanting something different than what it is, but it's open to things constantly changing anyway. So
just within that whole process, it's the wanting that is where the suffering is.
Yeah, wanting is where the suffering is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just going to play around with that today as I watch how every little action is an attempt to either escape the experience that I'm having right now, even if it's just, you know, relieving myself of sensations or something like that, in an attempt to satisfy whoever it is that wants that or whatever it is that wants that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to kick down today as you go about and see the ways in which you're escaping sensations to satisfy that part that wants something to be different.
Thank you.
Todd?
A couple of things have come up recently. Yesterday in sitting meditation and last night, during the night, and I'm not sure if I just more present and I'm attending to it more, but I've seen levels of self-hate that I've never seen before. They come at me just with such vicious brutalness that I was startled, especially in sitting meditation yesterday. I was just like, oh my goodness. And it reminded me of, Sherry was talking to Ruth Friday night, that you know, there are some that are observing, well, you know, it's not that bad.
It's you know,
I don't really hate myself. I'm sometimes a little hard on myself. That's not my experience. My experience of it now is maybe just with my deepening practice as it ongoes. And especially last night, well, yeah, both things were very so similar. It felt like the content wasn't similar, but the process of the hatred was so fierce that it was startling, and it was startling in a good way, because I really, 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 really more than ever got it. It's not me.
So it was startling, but in a way that you really got it, that it's not you.
Yeah, and I actually had to get out of bed, and then I had this drop in. I love these things that drop in, and I remember Sherry talking a long, long time ago that she would often wake up in the night and go outside. If she woke up, and especially maybe coming out of a dream or a nightmare, I'll consider these nightmares, and go outside and just look at the stars, or just kind of disidentify or get rid of the residual of that conditioned experience of conditioning or self-hate. And I remember to do that last night, and it was very centering to walk out on my little deck, and it's so quiet. Wow, there's not even cicadas. There's just nothing around. No crickets, or I just can't remember it being so silent. And just looking at the stars and the half moon, and it really got rid of that residual kind of gooey, eerie, weird, creepy, everything that's associated with it. And it was such a centering experience that I was appreciative that light dropped that in, uh-huh. Sort of as a counter. Uh-huh.
Appreciating that light dropped that in too, and that you took the opportunity to do it and go out onto the deck and look at the stars and speaking in the silence in the night and to have the experience of centering.
Yeah.
After that experience that you had with self-hate, and then to have the experience of disidentifying from that.
Yeah, exactly. I too appreciated the conversation about doing it for the very first time. Mm-hmm. And there's maybe I'm just more aware of it when I'm at the monastery. There seem to be so many firsts at the monastery, mm-hmm. as opposed to out there. There's probably a lot of firsts out there, but maybe I'm just not as present to it. But there's a lot of firsts here, and there's firsts, yet I can draw on past experience in the moment. An example was yesterday, Sherry asked me, have you ever driven a golf cart? And I had to kind of think, well, geez, I used to be a golfer. Yeah, I used to drive golf carts all the time, but I haven't recently. But the question was, have you ever driven a golf cart? Not, have you driven a golf cart yesterday? You know, so I had to kind of hesitate, and she kind of looked at me like, well, geez, I don't know. I'm a little unsure here now, because I hesitated. And I said, oh, yeah, I've driven a golf cart a lot. And she said, oh, great. And she says, but here are the guidances, you know, for the monastery golf cart. And she gave me some guidances. So I was delivering or picking up luggage and delivering to the front pine tree. But I was noticing that I have the ability to learn in the past, bring it to the present, but then not let that rule the experience. Because this ain't a golf course. I mean, there's a lot of different hazards in the monastery than driving a nice groomed fairway and, you know, I don't know if you've been on a golf course, but I mean, it's all conducive to a golf cart. I mean, I don't know if the golf cart was built for the golf course or the golf course was built for the golf cart. Who knows? Chicken or the egg. But here, the golf cart driving is a really new experience. And it's one you take, well, I took with great caution, because there's a lot of little things that came up. And I reduced my speed a lot more than I would have on the golf course, where I just give her and gun it and floor it on every, you know, an excuse to just give her. But here, you don't give her as often. With great caution, you ain't giving her, you know, because you've got to be really mindful when you blow this thing up. So there's a lot of explaining to do.
You were looking at doing something like for the first time, and drawing upon past experience, but really bringing that past experience into the present moment and being present with the experience of, for instance, driving the golf cart now here at the monastery, and drawing upon your past experience, but being mindful of the new opportunity of of what's involved with driving it around the property.
Yeah, yeah. And there's, it seems in my practice, things kind of go kind of through cycles of something that's kind of in my awareness, kind of a container in awareness. There's a couple things right now. Is everything is the Buddha, kind of one of our things we're looking at, every moment Zen, everything is the Buddha. And the next one that just keeps arising is without a change of behavior, there is no change of consciousness. And I was just watching it with the guidelines in the monastery, and with all the guidelines and the encouragements that to be present and to do things with great awareness, is that is for me the big change of behavior. Because if I just were to allow ego to run it, I would just run right through all those guidelines. None of my behaviors would change, and then I'd have no change of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. So looking at the guidelines as an assistance in the without a change of behavior, there could be no change in consciousness. And so that has been providing you with the opportunity to change your behavior.
And I heard Sherry say once, even just for a split second, just even the smallest behaviors changes the chemistry, or the changes the system in the body. The system changes, even to smile. And I was looking at it the other day, I was doing that as an intention to smile. And then that intention carried on. In fact, I was looking at the change of behaviors. I set intentions for a general intention for the day, and then I set an intention for every work practice, and then sort of reported on that intention in my text. And within those intentions, which were changes of behaviors, because they were brought to my awareness, then carried on. They were kind of piggybacked on each other. And then I found, as time went on through the week, I was bringing these intentions into the change of behaviors, and my change of consciousness was less suffering.
Mm-hmm. So setting intentions for yourself for the day and for the work period, and then practicing with those changes of behavior and seeing how they would piggyback, and through that throughout the week you were continuing to practice those changes in behavior, and the change in consciousness was less suffering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Thank you. Michelle.
This has been a very interesting couple of days. I joke that I have too much luggage and too much stuff, but in addition, conditioning has packed a lot of stuff that came with me the monastery. Which is one thing I wanted to come, is to get in an environment where I can really see some things. Y'all are very kind. I've been sick, and so a lot of things come up regarding that. Kind of management of asthma and conditioning beats me up about why couldn't I manage it while I was working. And it was so simple to rest when you get sick. Why couldn't that have been done when you're working? But I was like, you know, that's a beating I really don't need. One thing about work is that I was working so hard, I could not even, my quality of life and how I felt in general, I could not tell when I was getting sick, because I was tired all the time and stressed out all the time. And here it's very clear, I'm getting sick. And so, so that was, you know, one of the things that I dropped. Okay, we're not having this beating again, you know, we're leaving that alone. And then I have been so touched with how kind everybody is here. I have had physicians and people who have taken care of me for this, who don't listen, and here just within a matter of a few days, I say, I get sick at night, in the middle of the night, and that's when I have the worst things. And y'all listen, and it is just so nice, so kind, so compassionate. It's like, you know, the first question, how was your night? Because we know that you get sick at night. And I think about, man, you know, how many physician people have I told that, they completely ignore it, and do pulmonary function tests in the middle of the day when I'm breathing fine. And so I was very grateful for that. The other thing that came up is, I've spent a lot of time in call rooms at the hospital, and the call rooms are about the size of the dormitory rooms, and you're there for a 24-hour time period. And some conditioning when I moved in, you know, said, wow, this is like a call room. Let's unpack that stuffing that I beat you with when you're on call, and let's do it again. I'm like, wait a minute. And I found myself, or found conditioning, wanting to do flashbacks of residency and past hurts and harms and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it truly doesn't want me to tell y'all about, you know, some of the things. There are times in residency, just training, we would joke, the interns who are loading people on the trolling phone as far as residency and things like that, we would joke that the only reason they didn't beat us was because it was illegal. And this is in the training of being somebody who takes care of other people. And there were times where it was very mean, very cruel. And then we actually taught to go through clinic with a full bladder because you'll work faster that way. And so, you know, those things that come up in the room and, you know, sick and I'm, you know, trying to breathe and I'm like, wait a minute, you know, this is not happening now. There's no reason to be angry, to be upset, to suffer over this and almost be in tears about something that happened, you know, years ago. And this is how you get me when I was working. This is what you do is unpack old things. There's no reason for this. I'm going to drop this. I am here surrounded by kind, compassionate people in a wonderful, natural environment. Yes, I got sick. I took some time off and taking care of myself. But I'm not going to let you beat me in this room again. This has got to stop. And, focused on the breath and everything. This is a no beating zone. This is not rehashing all the past. You can drop that content. Let's go on. And so I plugged into my recording and listening and talked about it and everything. And it's just like, this is time to forgive, forget, let it go, and not be suffering in this environment. At some point, you got to say, no, that's enough. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen anymore. I've got to stop that. And so it was shocking to me. It's like, okay, if I am feeling all those old resentments and anger and hurt and all of that meanness from those many years ago, the only reason I have those feelings now is because I'm choosing to sit here and take that beating. You know, it's like, no, I choose not to. And so I listened to my recordings and proved the process. This can stop. I can be just fine in this little room, you know, with these kind people. And I don't have to suffer those bad things, you know, anymore. And so it works. It's a process, but it does work. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to suffer and feel that beating from the past. It doesn't have to happen. And if I'm doing that, I'm choosing it. And I can make a different choice.
Mm-hmm. And it really sounds like taking a stand for this person. And just not accepting that no beatings. This is a self-hate free zone. No beatings. Yeah, just really taking a stand.
Well, it's funny, conditioning said, you're letting these people like train your mind. I'm like, yes. This ridiculous third man control. Well, you know, I spent 4 years of training with it. You know, I've been conditioned by other forces in my life and submitted to that for 4 years, and it was supposed to be, you know, success in professional cases. This is actually a better way. And so yes, I am letting them train me. I'm letting them train me to drop all of that stuff and leave the kindness and the compassion. It's riled up. It is resorted to calling. It's resorted to childish things. And you know, I feel like it's really desperate. And it's like, wow, I must be getting somewhere with this. You know, I'm happy and calm and feel good even though I'm a little bit sick. And, you know, it is pulling out everything you can think of to get me, you know, back in place.
Mm-hmm. It's pulling out everything I can think of, and you're pulling out the tools and using them to record and listening.
Yeah, it's a little bad going on in that room.
Back to the beginning, I feel like I'm going to group this morning for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just been a great group, and I really appreciate how what people had to share about self-hate. It's part of my role to help or to see folks off on the bus mm-hmm. at the end of the retreat. there's often folks are often quite emotional, so projection is coming in here. Mm-hmm. This person is often also quite emotional, and you know, just my whole projection of, you know, there's this time at the monastery. It's like being in touch with the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And as Rochelle was just saying, you know, that support for being in the heart. And then, you know, knowing that you're going back out there into the trenches, you know, and outside of this supportive environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really tough. You know, I just know from trying for a long time to do it on my own out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so as folks were leaving, I just realized, God, you know, the only thing I can offer is to end my own self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't get on the bus and go with folks. Wouldn't be any help anyway. You know? I don't want me going home with them. You know? And really, truly, it's felt like that's all I can do. Is,
mm-hmm.
You know, wow, what a gift. If I can do that.
What a gift.
If I can drop.
And your self-hate.
If I can drop my self-hate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's. And so, you know, to just have folks sharing this morning about what they're seeing about doing that. and I was grateful to be reminded. I mean, we've talked about if something is really uncomfortable, you can be sure that it's ego,
mm-hmm.
and you wanna go for that discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just feel like I got that other piece that it's self-hate is there. It's ego. You know, the ego is present
mm-hmm.
for sure. You know, if there is no separation, then it's like, you know, there's just nothing for that self-hate to attach itself
mm-hmm.
to, it seems, you know.
So if self-hate is there, then ego is present. And if there's no separation, then there's nothing for self-hate to attach itself to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that whole wanting is, and which I can so relate to, that just wanting things to be different. And I could see that when I'm in that place of wanting things to be different, I'm in that place of referencing that past and future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if I'm here, you know, what is there to want to be different? You know, there's, I don't know what this, you know, it's like, I don't know what it's like to do this thing right now because, you know. Yeah, so it's, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're wanting things to be different, then you're referencing the past or the future. But if you're just here, then what is there to want to be different? If you're just here experiencing what's here.
For the first time.
For the first time.
You know? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, my mind just went blank with that.
as was saying earlier, just to be, you know, that that where it gets tricky is to see the self-hate, realize that, you know, that's ego, and you know, not going more self-hate because you know, I haven't conquered that one yet. And so that's, I guess that's all part of the practice of being in a human body and having this whole experience, and just keep practicing.
Yeah, just keep practicing. Yeah. Oh, what a gift that is.
Yeah, and what a gift it is to be in this room this morning and to be in this. You know, every once in a while it just hits me that how in the heck did I end up here? How in the heck, you know, did it happen? Mm-hmm. To just to find this being in this place with that kind of support to drop that kind of to drop that thing that keeps this being from fully experiencing life, you know, just to be given that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be given that opportunity and support to be in life and drop that which is keeping me from having that experience.
It just came up for me. There's being born, and then there's being born. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just feels like another level of birth.
Uh-huh. Another level of birth.
Because that keeps going on through life.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks.
Jen?
Yeah, several things. I love that reminder of if we're not referencing the past or the future, it's so obvious we're adequate. It's not an idea, you know, just because I'm standing here. I'm here. That's the proof that I'm adequate to this, you know? And so without any conversation, which is the only way we could reference the past or the future, right? It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So without referencing the past or the future, then you're just here, and you're adequate to what's here. And you're standing here.
You know, just it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the piece about the only thing we could do, you know, because I had this image of like, yeah, go home with them and really like, you know, help them out. And then it's like, well, it's funny, the karma for me is like, but I can only go home with one. You know, there's only one. And that, what good would that do? And then seeing the one, that's why the one is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's everything. Because it's not ending my self-hate, mm-hmm. it's ending mm-hmm. self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
So if I, for lack of a better term, if this being ends the relationship with self-hate, self-hate is ended.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's an experience in life of self-hate is ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the experience in life of self-hate being ended. Mm-hmm. And that it's not ending my self-hate, it's ending self-hate.
Yeah. And the last thing was, I just was so helpful earlier in the discussion, that piece of, you know, so feeling the way I don't really want to feel, or, you know, like the garden is just a total disaster or whatever, and that place of, oh no, but we're going to get to ha-ha-ha,
mm-hmm.
and having that, I guess what was helpful about it is seeing how that's just a piece of the cycle that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just a way of, I just got this image of like, come back in here, my pretty. You know? So it's like, it gets us like just beaten down, like, oh God, this is awful, it's terrible, whatever, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's going to be good pretty soon. And so it does, it starts to, and I suspect like everything, the initial energy release is actually just life, mm-hmm. realizing, wait, that was a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the garden is just fun. That's mm-hmm. And everything's fine, and I'm fine, and life is fine, and it's all just unfolding exactly as it needs to unfold. And that's the original, that's where the energy comes from. But then the way conditioning can pull it back in is to sort of build this this excitement around that then becomes based on what is going to happen mm-hmm. back on the content level mm-hmm. and confuses us again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just sets us up for, oh, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I didn't get what I wanted.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So just looking at that as just one part of the process, but mm-hmm. There's that hopeless feeling or nothing's working, and then there's the energy of life presenting possibilities and that authentic energy that's available for life,
yeah.
and then conditioning just sort of coming in after that with, now it's going to be good in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Because this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. On the content level.
On the content level, yeah. It's like, its only choice at that point is to get on the energy train.
Mm-hmm.
And for a minute, you know, like, agree with you, like, stand next to you and go, yeah, this mm-hmm. is going to be great. And then just quietly start to take you back off the rails with, mm-hmm. because we could do this, and we could do that, and we could do this, and mm-hmm. we could do that. And then, without realizing it, we're off with that,
mm-hmm.
and we've left the, wait, everything was okay just because mm-hmm. it was okay, not because it was right. going to be different, or, yeah.
Yeah, just watching that process and how conditioning will get on board where it can.
Yeah, get on board where it can. Where it essentially has to. Mm-hmm. It has to get on board there. It can't, at that point, if it were to stay in the, everything's awful, it would lose us,
mm-hmm.
because that's not mm-hmm. where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to kind of join us and then convince us to mm-hmm. get pulled off
yeah.
again.
Yeah. Okay. Rochelle.
Saw something there where it says it's not any my self-hate, it's any self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I experience and search for is what we have here is the grace of Sana.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just me doing battle, we are doing battle. And when I see the participants for the retreat, my heart goes out to them because I know I did it last year. I know what it's like, and I know getting on a bus and how life-changing it can be. Want to make their stay go as smoothly as possible because I know what battle they're going to do, what battle they're doing. And it's not just me, it's us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the grace of Sangha, it really is. I greatly appreciate that. And they're, because you're like,
you don't even know their names, you don't know what they're doing. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. They are brave enough to come mm-hmm. here, sit and stare at the wall, and unravel what you're doing to them. And so it doesn't matter. They're family, they're Sangha, they're here to help. And so I don't need to know names, I don't need to know details, I don't need to know anything. This is somebody who is struggling with self-hate and conditioning just like me. And if they can sit here and face it and stare at the wall and really keep coming back again and yet again, then I can keep doing it too.
Mm-hmm. I'm not alone. It's not any my self-hate. It's to, kind of weed in the garden. You can cut the weeds, but we're talking about grabbing at the roots and then twisting the weed out type of thing. And that's what this kind of process is. And I am very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
For the willingness for the whole community to provide this, to do this, and it is exhausting, I'm sure, and it is emotional work, but I'm very grateful because it is all of us, and it's not in my self-hate, and it's not about my this or that, it's all of us working toward that process,
mm-hmm.
And every little thing here, every detail that we worry about, look at, is a process of ending that self-hate, paying attention to that one bit, and being here and now doing this one thing. because we want to get out of that self-hate process, mm-hmm. not only for me, but for other people. And I'm very grateful for that. It is an amazing thing to witness and be a part of.
It really does take everyone. It's the grace of Sangha. So quiet.
The three share morning, so but I was reminded that it's Mother's Day, and I think, well, there was a commitment, I think, that came out of Sherry's blog when she wrote about getting a birthday gift of ending self, the monk offered to end self-hate for the day in honor of her birthday, and or to drop self-hate, whatever. Anyway, and that was the focus for Mother's Day,
mm-hmm.
is for everyone to just take this day as an opportunity to drop self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great.
That was a very fitting conversation this morning.
Very fitting conversation this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can all take that on today.
Yeah.
Thank you. A few more minutes.
I just so resonate with how life just keeps bringing me to the monastery time and time. Yeah, I have no idea how to get here. Sometimes I get in my hermitage and I go, wow, how am I here again? How did that happen? Like, that's the power of life, really, when you're open to it. It has so much, Sherry alludes to so much. It's so infinitely bigger than conditioning, than ego, than self-hate. It is, because I remember in the beginning the resistance that to do any type of practice, just to sit,
mm-hmm.
was so overwhelming and often would be talked out of it. And now to make commitment to visiting monk programs and deepening practice programs or anything availing it, that life just for me, just, you know, amidst all the process that we talked about today about ending self-hate, I just keep showing up. Because life, I'm proving it, or I'm experienced that life definitely is bigger than that whole process of conditioning.
Experiencing that life is bigger than the process of conditioning, and keep showing up.
And keep showing up. And I too, I think I'm a loving kindness junkie. Because I'm projected on the monastery, but that's when I get here, that feels like at every turn, that's what I'm experiencing, is loving kindness. And I know it's inside, but it was talked about that I get this experience in the monastery that everything is at best unconditional. So that's where everything that I'm experiencing, the mirroring I'm getting, is externally I'm not getting mirrored conditioning that I do on the outside world. I'm getting mirrored the unconditional,
mm-hmm.
and that's where my heart just seems to open wider and wider, and the willingness to continue to practice. And I hadn't heard, I don't know if I've ever heard it said that way, but I'm as a sentient being, I'm here to end suffering, and in quotations, not my suffering, and taking it on personally. And I loved it. It really broadened my perspective of it when it was stated that way. And because it kind of was alluded to earlier that, you know, the greatest gift I can give to life is to end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But this being, in a sense, project out onto the world a being that is not mired in suffering, which causes a lot of calamities.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it has in the past, and to others, and to life. And
yeah, just what a gift it is to life to end suffering for this being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the grace of Sangha, how I try forever to do it, to make some sense of anything by myself, and it just. The support of Sangha, it's just not, for me, the experience, it's not possible to do the things that I feel is required in ending suffering without the support of Sangha, and I guess the three jewels, Bodhi and Sangha, I guess they all come together, but Sangha is one that it feels so immediate when I'm at the monastery,
mm-hmm.
that I so appreciate.